sinners such as I.
Amen.
How wonderful is love like this. Amen. Amen. Well, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis tonight. And in case you're wondering, I do believe in the New Testament. Just God has led us in the Old Testament this week thus far. And as I said at the very beginning, it's all good. So let me make mention just our table back there. We have some books out there. We have CDs and some recordings we don't have on available on CD right now, but you can get on download. You can ask about that. But we have a couple books out there. And the reason why we're carrying these books, I was talking with a pastor earlier today, is we're trying to encourage people to read. Amen? And it's becoming a lost art in our culture. And we're so tied to these devices. That's what they call them. Amen? Devices I think reading has fallen by the wayside. So we're carrying some books. Now, these books that we have... Oh, thank you, sweetie. Got my own water carrier here. These books that we have, there's two back on the table that we have right now. This one is called To Know Wisdom, and it's 31 chapters written by a pastor friend of mine in New Hampshire, Pastor Paul Clow, and a great book on wisdom and great truths. You could read one a day and go through this book in a month, and just short chapters. And then this book is written specifically to young men, as you can probably tell by the title, amen? Young men, I write unto you because. It's a great book. This is my favorite book that we carry. And this was written by my wife's uncle. He's a pastor in Nova Scotia, Canada, Pastor Percy Lake. And this is geared toward you young men. And it talks about the H factor. The H factor. You say, what is that? Get the book. Amen. And now these books, we don't have a set price on these. These are just for a donation. Whatever you want to give. We don't make any money off these books. We're just trying to encourage people to read. And we have a suggested donation if you're just in a quandary, you don't know what to give, and they'll tell you what that is. But I want you to get these books, especially young people. And maybe you're a young person here tonight, you say, I got a dollar. That's good enough. Get a book. Amen? And we want you to be able to read these books and gain some knowledge and wisdom. And I tell the young men, I said, listen, this, you come by and purchase this book, and I might consider you. Amen? All right. The girls just love when I do that. All right, Genesis chapter 27. If you hadn't found it by now, you're not going to find it. So Genesis 20, did I tell you the chapter? I didn't tell you the chapter. I told you the book, but I didn't tell you the chapter. Genesis 27, we're going to be in our Bibles tonight, and I really have enjoyed being here. I love, just love the spirit of this church and seeing all the young people. What a blessing that is. Genesis 27, you find your place, stand with me if you will. We're going to read the first 10 verses of the chapter, and we're going to look at a very dysfunctional family that God used. That's encouraging, isn't it? Amen? Genesis chapter 27, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. I'll read aloud, you follow along in your Bible. Genesis 27, verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and he said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah said unto Jacob her son, or spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth, and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. I want to preach tonight on the blessing, and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look into his word together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're thankful for your blessings on us. Lord, you are good to us each and every day, and our days are filled with blessings. But Lord, this is a particular blessing that we're looking at tonight. Very important blessing. Maybe the most important blessing. So God, I pray that you would help us, give us understanding. Lord, we need to hear from you tonight. Our hearts have been stirred already thinking about what a great Savior we have. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight who is unsaved, Lord, I pray that they would understand that that this is real, that what we sing about and what we preach about and who we sing about and who we preach about, that you are real and the salvation that you offer is genuine and eternal and full and free. And Lord, I pray that they'd trust Christ tonight, be born again. Lord, I pray for your people. I pray that we would understand what this blessing is all about, and Lord, that we would desire it upon our lives. Lord, the greatest blessing. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In Genesis 27, what we've read sets up a story, and really, to get the full effect of the story, we'd have to read the whole chapter. There's 46 verses here. But I'm going to try to give a somewhat of a summary of the chapter and get us a, hopefully an understanding of how important this was. Now, when you read just the 10 verses that we read, we already see that there's something underhanded going on, that there is a problem in this family. And can I say that the biggest problem they had besides not agreeing, not being on the same page, is they had favorites in this home. Isaac favored Esau, and Rebekah favored Jacob. Now, if you go back in Genesis 25, you get a little more understanding about how this came about. And we know from Genesis 27 what we read, that that Isaac loved Esau because he loved that savory meat that he made. And it's an interesting study. We're not going to look at it tonight, but you study the loves of Isaac. He loved Rebekah, he loved Esau, and he loved that savory meat. And all three of them became traps. He was deceived by all three. Very interesting study. And be careful what you love. And make sure that you love the Lord above all. And so Isaac, he favored Esau, but Rebekah favored Jacob. You say, why was that? Well, you could say that Jacob, the Bible describes Jacob as a plain man. He dwelt in the tents. He liked staying near the tent. Esau was a man of the field. And you could say, well, Rebekah favored Esau because, or Rebekah favored Jacob because he was around her more and in the tent more and all of that stuff. But it's deeper than that. If you look in Genesis 25, you'll see in verse number 20, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? Maybe she was having doubts as to being able to carry these children to term. She knows that the Lord has answered the prayer and given it to them, but she's struggling. And so the end of verse 22 says, she went to inquire of the Lord. Now watch what the Lord tells her. The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. Look at this. And the elder shall serve the younger. So Rebecca had from God this revelation that, number one, that she had twins inside of her. She didn't know that before. She knew that now. And number two, that the younger would be greater and stronger than the elder, and the elder would serve the younger. Their birth was unusual in the sense that that Jacob supplanted Esau, and the Bible tells us that he's named Jacob, supplanter, for the purpose because he took hold of Esau's heel as they were being born. And this was a picture of what was going to take place in their lives. So Rebecca has it in her mind. Now, nowhere in Scripture are we told that Rebecca went to Isaac and informed Isaac of what the Lord had said. And it appears that Isaac was outside of this knowledge. He did not know what God had told Rebecca. And so fast forward between the time of reading in 25 of their birth and 27 about the blessing, there was the matter of the birthright. And you're probably familiar with the story. Esau goes out to hunt. So many names going through my mind right now. I'm sure I'll mess them up and my kids will tell me later. Esau goes out to hunt and he's weary and he's faint, the Bible says. He feels like he's going to die. He comes back in. Jacob is making some pottage and Esau says, hey, I want some of that. And Jacob says, okay, you got something I want. Let's make a deal. And he says, you sell me your birthright and I'll give you these lentils. And so Esau makes a very foolish decision to sell his birthright in order to have that those lentils. And so Jacob has already gotten the birthright. Now, chapter 27, we come to this blessing. And I think in a way it's hard for us to understand exactly what's transpiring here because this is not really part of our culture in these days. We don't really understand a birthright and a blessing the way that they did. In their culture, the way it was set up in their lives, the blessing was the most important part of what they could receive from their father. The birthright attached to it were the material goods being passed from the father down to the son. And all the material goods now, instead of going to Esau, they're going to Jacob because Esau sold his birthright. But the blessing was something altogether different. It didn't have anything to do with the material things of this life. It had everything to do with spiritual blessings. We still, in part, understand this when a young man is interested in a young lady and he goes to her father to seek his blessing. Will you give your blessing to the marriage? And so this is kind of the same idea. He's wanting the blessing of the father to be passed down to him. Isaac has it in his mind that he's old and he's getting ready to die, and he wants to make sure before he dies, he passes that blessing down to his son, Esau, his eldest son. But Rebekah overhears Isaac speaking to Esau, and Rebekah cooks up a scheme. And I've often wondered at this and thought, you know, what kind of mother undermines the future of her own son? Maybe Rebecca justified in her mind that conversation she had with God all those years ago, saying that the younger was going to be greater than the elder was to be in subjection and serving the younger. And maybe she just decided to help God out. We can get that way, can't we? Well, I know this is what God wants, and so I'm just going to help things go that way. Listen, if you're getting those things done by dishonest means, God is not going to be pleased with that. The end does not justify the means. You need to do it God's way. And can I say this? God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need us to get His will accomplished. He will accomplish His will with or without your help. Amen? It's a matter of faith. And Rebecca obviously did not have enough faith that God could bring to pass His word. Can I tell us tonight, this is not really part of the message, but it's kind of leading up to the message. Can I remind us tonight and encourage us tonight to have faith in the Word of God? Just trust God's Word, and what God says will come to pass, will come to pass. When we lose faith, we start going by our own means and leaning to our own understanding. Gets us in trouble. But one thing that really strikes me as I read through this chapter, and they do bring about their evil plan to steal the blessing, they bring that to fruition. They trick Isaac into thinking that Jacob is Esau. The Bible tells us that in verse number 15 that Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. You know why? Because Esau was hairy and Jacob was not. And so she not only disguises the dish, the savory meat, she makes it like Esau makes it, but then she disguises Jacob by putting all this hairy skins upon him to try to fool Isaac. Isaac, as he mentioned, his eyes were dim. And so he goes in, she gives him the savory meat and the bread in verse 17, puts it in the hand of her son Jacob. He came unto his father, verse 18, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, who art thou, my son?" Now watch this. Jacob said unto his father, "I am who?" Esau. It's part of the plan. He has to lie. And so he says, "I'm Esau." Jacob does not, Isaac does not immediately believe his son. He tells him, he says, he asks him a question, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly?" Verse number 20, Jacob lies again. He said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Then in verse 21, Isaac says, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, to see whether thou be my very son Isaac or not." Jacob goes near, Isaac feels him. And this is what he says. Look at verse 22. "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." Verse 23, "He discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he," what? "Blessed him." What's interesting here is Isaac trusted every sense except the one that he could. He trusted his vision even though it was dim. The one thing that he should have trusted was the hearing. He went by feelings. He went by, he tasted the venison. It tasted like Esau. He felt like Esau. He smelled him later on in the passage, and he had Esau's clothes on, so he smelled like Esau. All of his senses were at work, and he trusted all the ones that he should not have trusted. The one sense that didn't pass the test was the hearing. And yet he didn't trust that one. Faith cometh by. So Jacob receives the blessing that should have been Esau's. Isaac gives him this blessing. Now I want us to see how important this blessing was to this family. It was important enough to Rebekah to deceive her own husband and to undermine her own son. It was important enough to Jacob that he was willing to jeopardize his future and his life to go through with this plan. That's how important it was. It was important enough to Isaac that he said, I've got to do this before I die. Look how important it was to Esau. In verse 34, Esau has come in now and he's found out what's going on. In verse 34, it says, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried, look at this, with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Here's a grown man crying, tears, weeping. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 that he was weeping. There were tears. And he's crying with an exceeding bitter cry. Later on in verse 41, look what it says. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I what? Slay my brother. I'd say the blessing was pretty important to them. Esau hated his brother, and he said, I'm going to kill my brother. They weren't, remember, they weren't just brothers, they were twin brothers. There's a close connection between twins. They almost feel as if they're an extension of the other. And yet, Esau is so grieved, and he's so angry, he's so upset that he said, I'm willing and I'm ready and I'm going to kill my brother for stealing my blessing. Seems like a pretty big deal, doesn't it? This blessing's a pretty big deal. Now, as I read this and I pondered on this, this thought struck me. Here they are, all of them, the whole family, working, scheming, undermining, hating, threatening, deceiving, all over the blessing of Isaac. You know what I don't see them seeking in this chapter? The blessing of God. It seems as if the blessing of Isaac has more importance in their life than the blessing of God. And they're not the same thing. They're not the same thing, as we'll see in the scripture. What takes place because of the words of Esau, in verse 42, we're told that the words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. She sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. He got in trouble last time he did that. And arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. And tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Jacob follows this advice, and the few days turn into 20 years. He goes to see Laban, and he, while he's there with Laban, he marries Laban's daughter, and then he marries Laban's daughter. And then he works another 6 years altogether. 20 years he spends with Laban. And let's look at, just fast forward a little bit here. Look in chapter 30, the last verse of chapter 30. Thank you for being patient while we get to the point we're getting to. Genesis 30, look at verse 43. And the man, speaking of Jacob, the man increased what? Exceedingly. He had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. And chapter 31 tells us that he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. So Jacob now, after 20 years, he's wearing out his welcome with Laban. And there's a lot that's transpired between Jacob and Laban. We won't get into all that tonight for sake of time, but let me say it this way. Jacob has deceived Laban, and Laban has deceived Jacob. Talk about a dysfunctional family. Everywhere Jacob goes, it's a mess. And so he's worn out his welcome at home because of his conniving and scheming and stealing. Now he's worn out his welcome at his wife's home with their family. Amen. And so the Lord speaks to him in verse 3. The Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Now, here's a wonderful statement in the mercy of God. Jacob has done nothing to deserve God's presence. But God, in his goodness, says, I'll be with you. This does not mean that God agrees with what Jacob is doing. It's just a mercy that he shows Jacob. So Jacob goes back home. And in chapter 32, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of the evening, chapter 32, this is what we find. Chapter 32, verse 1, remember it's been 20 years. Verse 1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob, look at verse 3, Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Now, what is he doing here? He's trying to do a little damage control. And Jacob, listen, you know what he's been doing all his life? He's been scheming. He's been plotting. He's been trying to get his way by hook or by crook. And nothing has changed. Because you know what he's doing right here? He's saying, he's sending these messengers to Esau to feel out Esau. Notice the wording that he's using here. I'm your servant. You're my Lord. He and Esau both knew that was not true. You know what that is? That's flattery. He's trying to flatter his way into a good relationship with Esau. And then he tries bribery. It's all right here in this message that he sent. He tells him all that he has. Oh, I have oxen and asses and flocks, men servants, women servants. I've got all this stuff. You know what he's saying? If you'll be nice to me, Esau, I'll give you stuff. I'll talk to you nice. Let's just smooth it out. Well, let's see how it worked. Verse number 6, the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee." That sounds nice. Till this last part. "And 400 men with him." That does not sound nice. You know, that doesn't sound like they're just going to throw a party for him. That sounds like an army. And look at the response of Jacob. "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." Now listen, we've laid all this groundwork because I want us to see something very important. Jacob had the blessing of Isaac upon his life. Is that right? He also had been blessed with many things of this life. He was exceedingly rich. He was increased with goods. He could look at his life and say, "Look at all these blessings that God has blessed me with." And God had allowed him to have all of those things and enjoy all of those things and have all of those blessings. So he had the blessing of Isaac. He had the blessings of this life, but he still did not have the blessing of God. You know what? We can go through this life, and many times I believe we do this. We look at our lives and we look at how things are going, and if things are going well, we think we're okay with God. We think that God's okay with us. We justify our behavior by saying, "Listen, if God was upset at me, he wouldn't be blessing me in these ways." We reason things out. And we say, "Well, God must be okay because things haven't fallen apart. God's okay with me. Isaac's okay with me. What I'm doing, brother so-and-so says is good. And she said I'm doing good. I have their blessing. I've got the things that I need. The bank account's full. I've got all the things that I need." But you're going to come to a point in your life where those things and those blessings will not be enough. And I believe all along in Jacob's life, listen, God had appeared to Jacob before. And he visited him in Genesis 28 when Jacob was asleep. Remember that ladder going up to heaven? And the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder? And God was trying to reach out to Jacob and trying to get his attention. And Jacob woke up and he said, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." God was here. God was trying to speak. You know what Jacob did at the end of that vision, that heavenly visitation? He tried to make a deal with God. Why? Because that's what Jacob had been doing all his life. Let's make a deal. I'll give you something, you give me something. And usually what he got was greater than what he gave. This is what he told God. God told Jacob, "I'll be with you." And Jacob said, "You know what, Lord, if you'll bless me, I'll give you a tithe." Well, I wonder how many people have made that little deal with God. But they think they made that deal with God. Can I tell you something here tonight? God doesn't want your tithe. He wants you. You can't buy off God with a tithe. God's been trying to get Jacob to this point in his life where he realizes he can have everybody else's blessing, but if he doesn't have God's blessing, he doesn't have anything. and he does so in ways that Jacob will understand. Listen, please listen. He tried to reach out to him through a spiritual vision in chapter 28. He tried to speak to Jacob on spiritual terms. Here's the problem. Jacob was too carnal to get the message. He said, "The Lord was here, I didn't even know it." He did not have a God consciousness. Everything was carnal in his life. And many times what God has to do when we're too carnal to hear a spiritual call, he has to bring us to a place where he touches our lives carnally to get our attention. Because that's the only realm in which we're even cognizant. You understand what I'm saying? When God, listen, God, I believe with all my heart, maybe you disagree, but I believe God is judging America right now. I believe it's the judgment of God on America right now. Why is that? Because for years, America has turned a deaf ear away from the spiritual call to repent. And if God cannot get your attention spiritually, he will get your attention carnally. Here's Jacob. He's coming back home. He's got nowhere else to go. He's worn out his welcome everywhere he's been. He's coming back home. And he now is met by Esau, and it appears that Esau is there to make good on his promise of 20 years ago. "I'm going to kill you, Jacob. You stole my blessing. I'm going to kill you." Jacob was greatly afraid. God will bring us to points in our life and places in our life. I believe a defining point in our life where we realize that we need the blessing of God more than anything else. Amen. Jacob, again, comes up with a plan. Because Jacob's always got a plan. So he divides his group into two companies. He said, if Esau goes after one, the other will escape. And he sends them all over the brook. And now Jacob crosses back over. You see it in verse 22. He rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. Watch this. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, that is, Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou," what? "Bless me." Jacob finally realizes the blessing of Jacob, or the blessing of Isaac, thank God for it, but it's not enough. And all of these things that I have and that God has blessed me with, those things will not be enough. Because there is a blessing that meets a need that is a spiritual need that none of these things could ever meet. It's to have the blessing of God upon your life. Now listen, the blessings of God is different than the blessing of God. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. It rains on the just and the unjust. God is good. God blesses us each and every day. Every breath that we take is a gift from Almighty God. The clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, the cars we drive, the homes that we live in, the country that we live in, these are all blessings of God. But that does not mean that His blessing is upon your life. I'm talking about the approval of God. I'm talking about the hand of God. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the touch of God upon your life. It's something that I'm afraid is so foreign to us in these days that we don't understand what it means to have the blessing of God upon our life. Say, why is that, preacher? Well, maybe it's because we've had so many good things for so long that we've equated the blessings of God with the blessing of God. That you're going to come to a point in your life, you young people, listen, you're going to come to a point in your life where you're going to realize that having mom and dad's blessing, that's great, it's wonderful, but it only takes you so far. You got to have God's blessing. And having the things of this life, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to have the things that we need in this life. But it's not enough. Jacob understands, finally, after all these years, that there's something missing in his life, and it's the blessing and touch of God. The approval of God upon his life. Can I ask you a question tonight? Who are you trying to please? Who are you living for? Who are you trying to impress? Who are you looking at and saying, well, I hope they notice me? Maybe some young lady here, you got your eye on some guy. Well, I hope he notices me. Some guy looking at some young lady, boy, I wish she'd just look my way. Wish she'd notice me. You know what you need before you need any of that? You need Him to look your way. Before you have the approval of anybody else, God's approval ought to be your priority. Priority number one. You may leave here tonight and say, well, I don't like that preacher. I would like for you to like me. I know sometimes you probably doubt that. I would like for you to like me. But I'm not here preaching for you to like me. We realize as believers, when this is all said and done, you're not going to stand before me. You're not going to stand before him. You're not going to stand before dad and mom. You're not going to stand before your grandparents. You're going to stand before God. You know what you were created for? His glory. His pleasure. You were made to make God happy. The world says you're made to make you happy. But they're wrong. The devil will convince you that if you live for yourself, that you'll be happy. But look at all the people who are trying that. Are they happy? You know, there was a survey done several years ago in Hollywood. And they asked them, among the questions, one of the questions was, what's your favorite song? Favorite song. All these Hollywood actors and stars. And I figured, you know, them being actors and actresses and faking all the time, I thought they'd say something like Amazing Grace. You know how that is. But I was wrong. You know what they said? Number one, favorite song of all time, Hollywood actors and actresses, you know what it was? I can't get no satisfaction. How telling is that? How revealing is that? You know why the things of this world cannot fill the longing of your soul? It can't bring satisfaction to you. Money can't bring satisfaction to you. Health can't bring satisfaction to you. Beauty can't. Fame can't. The applause of man, the blessing of Isaac. It cannot fill the void. And it will not get you through. You need the blessing of God. If God is pleased with your life, you can have perfect peace when you lay your head on your pillow at night. You can have rest and peace and understanding that God, if God is pleased, it does not matter who else is displeased. But if God is displeased, it doesn't matter who else is pleased. Amen. Jacob gets to this point. And he gets desperate for God's blessing. The angel says, I've got to go. The day's breaking. Now, you may disagree with me. I think this is a Christophanes. That's a big word for a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. I believe he's wrestling with God. He says later on that he's seen the face of God. Seen God face to face. That's what he says. But regardless, he's definitely sent from God, this angel. And he says, I've got to go. Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go except thou bless me. Now watch this, verse 27. He said unto him, what is thy name? Now picture with me, I like picturing things in my mind. That's how I learn. I'm picturing a fight. Okay, it's such a violent fight that Jacob has already, he's got an injury in his thigh already. And according to verse number, verse number 25, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. This is a serious match here. They're not just horsing around. This is a serious wrestling match. This is a fight. They're in a fight for life. And Jacob's like, I'm not letting go. I mean, it's going back and forth. And right in the middle of the fight, the guy asks him what his name is. I've never seen that happen. I've never read anywhere else where that happened, where they're just going at it back and forth. Hey, what's your name? Doesn't it seem odd that he would ask them this question? Especially when you realize he already knew his name. Why would he ask him what his name is? Well, let's go back to chapter 27 in our minds. Let's think about this. The last time Jacob was asked what his name was, what did he say? I'm Esau. You know what God is doing? He's saying, listen, you want my blessing? If you're here tonight, you want God's blessing, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go back to where you got off track. You're going to have to go back to where you sinned, and you're going to have to make it right. God will take you back to where you got off track. He'll take you back to where you lied and you deceived and you tried to do things underhanded without God's blessing. And he makes you own up to it. What did he say? When he asked him, what's your name? He said, Jacob. Remember what Jacob's name means? Supplanter. What does that mean? Deceiver. Underminer. He had to come clean before God. That you want God's blessing on your life tonight? I sure hope you do. One thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to come clean before God. Realize where you are and go back and make things right as best as you can. In Jacob's case, he had to make things right with God, and then later he'll make things right with his father. You know, it's amazing when you think about this. When we started reading in chapter 27, Isaac says, I'm about to die. And yet 20 years later, the old guy's still kicking. You ever thought about that? Do you think Isaac was just being dramatic back in chapter 27? This is what I think. I could be wrong, but it's my turn, so I'm going to give you my opinion. This is what I think. I think God kept him alive for Jacob. I think God kept him alive for Jacob so Jacob could make things right. Let me tell you something. This doesn't always work this way. Sometimes there might be something in your life and someone you got out of sorts with and now they're gone. You can't make it right. Let me tell you, if you can, you should. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I'd do it tonight. Maybe somebody in this room, you got out of sorts with them. Maybe it's a long time ago. Maybe it's not a long time ago. It doesn't matter. You ought to make it right tonight. If you want God's blessing, you're going to have to make it right. Amen. What is thy name? He said, Jacob. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You know what? As soon as Jacob said, owned up to what he was, the Lord said, you're not that anymore. Isn't that the grace of God? Think back when you got saved. And you had to come clean before you got saved. Amen? You had to admit you're a sinner, admit what you are and what you had done. But as soon as you admitted that, Lord, I'm a sinner, would you save me? He changed you in a moment of time. You're no longer Jacob. Now you're Israel. What does Israel mean? It means prince. You know what a prince is? It's a son of the king. That's what the Lord made you and I when we trusted Christ as Savior. He took us in our sin and He changed us, made us a child of God. In this scripture as well, we see that Jacob not only had a change of name, but he had a change of walk. He walked differently after he left this place. He lived differently. He wasn't perfect. He still had lapses of faith, just like you and I do. But he was set on a different course. He finally had the blessing of God upon his life. What does the blessing of God grant you? Well, verse 28 says, you have power with God and with men. Now, this is not a self-serving power. It's a Christ-serving power. I want to have God's power on my life. I want to have His blessing upon my life. I want others to see the Lord in my life. I want them, when they look at me, not to see Jacob, but to see the Son of the King. I want them to see Jesus. They're not going to see Jesus if I'm living in my strength. They're not going to see Jesus if I'm conniving to get the things that I want. The only way they're going to see Jesus is if I have God's blessing on my life. Do you have God's blessing? Do you have God's stamp of approval on your life? The course that you're walking, the goals that you have, the life that you're living, the thoughts that you're thinking. Does it have God's approval on it? God's blessing? Are you living for Him? Heavenly Father, we're grateful. As we look at this story, we see imperfect people, certainly. But we also see your patience. All this time, working in Jacob's life to bring him to this point in his life where he realized that your blessing was more important than anything else in this world. God, may this be upon our hearts, upon our minds, that your blessing, your approval, your leading, your will would be our first priority. Maybe you're calling someone tonight to a specific ministry. Maybe you've been dealing with them for some time and they've been reluctant. Maybe it's out of fear. Maybe it's out of selfishness. Maybe it's because it will not please others around them, or they fear it won't. God, I pray that you would hone in on their heart tonight and help them to see that your blessing is worth more than anything else in this world. Where you guide, you provide, you enable, you equip. Lord, maybe someone here tonight and they're lost. I pray that you'd help them to see that they can trust Christ tonight and be made a new creature. Be given a new name, a new life, a new walk. Have your way now in the invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, the altar's